parenting is not a role. The most important thing is relationship. Without understanding relationship, any plan of action will only breed conflict. But why shouldn't he be angry about it? You know, why should I be threatened by his anger? Why should I call that naughty? Oh, you're angry, you're really upset, you really wanted that cookie. Yeah. You're not permissive, but you're also not demanding that the child suppress their feelings in order to be in your presence. You can go through these states, it's okay, they'll pass. And this is how self-regulation happens. Not by, you mustn't yell, you mustn't cry, you know, and so on, this kind of punitive and accusatory stuff. React against his anger, all you're teaching him is self-suppression, which is not the same as self-regulation. The greatest gift a parent can give to their child is his or her own happiness. And when you're restless and unhappy around your kids, as I have been, they get a message that it's about them. I found my mother's diary recently. When I was 6 weeks old, and this is 1944, my mother is writing, "My poor little Gabor, you've been crying since 3 a.m. My heart broke for you, but I couldn't pick you up to feed you until 5 o'clock because the doctors would be so angry with me because I learned to feed you on schedule rather than on demand. And I didn't want to displease the doctors, so I had to let you cry for almost 2 hours. And finally, at 4:45, my heart broke, and I couldn't do it anymore, and I picked you up and fed you, but don't think I'll do it again." Now, what's the message to a 6-week-old who's desperate for maternal contact, and this woman who absolutely adored me, who did everything she could to save my life under very difficult circumstances that I already talked to you about before, wartime Hungary, Nazi occupation, who absolutely loved me, and she's absolutely hurting me at the same time. And just how confusing that is for the infant. Now, you tell a mother bear to ignore the crying of the infant. You tell a mother cat to ignore the crying of the infant. Every fiber in my mother's being wanted to pick me up and nurture me, but because the doctors had told her not to. And this is how we tell parents now how to parent. We tell them to sleep train their kids by not picking them up. Hunter-gatherer tribes, you know what they do? They never even put their kids down. In the state of nature, creatures don't put their kids down. That doesn't mean you're permissive. The kid wants a cookie before dinner, and you know better. You give him a cookie, he won't have dinner. You're not going to give him the cookie. But why shouldn't he be angry about it? You know, why should I be threatened by his anger? Why should I call that naughty? Why should I call that the terrible twos? Oh, you're angry, you're really upset, you really wanted that cookie. Yeah. That's okay. Well, I'm so sorry. You know, after dinner, you know. In other words, you're not permissive, but you're also not demanding that the child suppress their feelings in order to be in your presence.
And you don't hold the relationship as ransom to them.
That's
the dangerous
thing. You don't use the relationship against them.
So I went on holiday this year. 1 week I spent with some family in like kind of a weird camp place in Germany, and the next week was in Bordeaux. I'll be honest, 4 days later, I left and flew back to London alone because I couldn't be the holiday dad.
If you could recognize in that experience that there's something that's still missing for you in terms of your self-awareness, then that could be a teaching experience. You know, and I know that holiday boredom that you described. When I go on holiday, it actually takes me a while to relax into it. Now the problem is when you're with 5 other people or 4 other people and you also have to be there for them, when you can't even be there for yourself, then you have a real dilemma. And you're either pretending to be the holiday dad or you're being miserable. I understand the dilemma, but I'm not sure that you want to stay that way for the rest of your life. Because you got these 2 young kids. And what's the message to them, and that is restless around them?
That it's their fault.
Yeah. And Thich Nhat Hanh, the spiritual teacher, the Buddhist teacher, said that the greatest gift a parent can give to their child is his or her own happiness. And when you're restless and unhappy around your kids, as I have been, they get a message that it's about them. So that's something good to recognize, as long as you take it on as a challenge.
One thing my wife does is when Caden's just, when he has meltdowns sometimes, sometimes on the sidewalk, next to traffic, And so she just talks to him. Okay, I know you're really angry, Caden. And that might take 5 minutes. But yeah. When he's talking, she's like, okay, I know you're really angry, but we need to go. So I understand you're angry. And he's like, ah! And she just tries to talk. And then after a while, he's listening, or hears the tone.
That's the whole point. He's responding as much to the energy and the tone as right. He is to the words. And what she's teaching him is self-regulation. He's actually teaching that you can go through these states, it's okay, they'll pass. And this is how self-regulation happens. Not by, you mustn't yell, you mustn't cry, you know, and so on, this kind of punitive and accusatory stuff. Your wife's doing intuitively what needs to be done. What she's doing is instead of a time out, she's giving a time in. She's actually giving him her energy and her concern and her presence at that time, which is exactly what the child needs. And that way he'll learn self-regulation. Whereas when you react against his anger, all you're teaching him is self-suppression, which is not the same as self-regulation.
I got a stepdaughter when she was 6.
Right.
She's now 14.
Mm-hmm.
And you said some interesting things about stepchildren and stepfathers earlier.
Well, step is an interesting word. Because what is it? Why do we call them step-parents? Because they step into the role of the parent. And in this book, Hold On To Your Kids, what we point out is that parenting is not a role. It's a relationship. So sometimes, I've seen very often, the step-parent steps into the role and expects deference and compliance and love from the child. But why should the child offer them? She didn't ask you to marry her mother. That was her mother's decision. Maybe for perfectly valid reasons, but let's not assume that the child is necessarily a party to it. And if you want to step into the role of parenting, you have to develop the relationship where the child wants to belong to you, where the child's attachment drive is directed towards you. And then you'll be the parent. But let's not assume that it's a role, that simply you can start doing the right things without a relationship. And Krishnamurti, the great teacher, said that the most important thing is relationship. And he said that without understanding relationship, any plan of action will only breed conflict. So it's that relationship that we have to get. So that 6-year-old whose mother married you at that age has already been through that difficult time because her parents divorced. Now, I don't need to know the circumstances, but I can tell you, no adults divorce without a fair bit of unhappiness. I mean, no two happy parents wake up Saturday morning and say, it's been wonderful, I'm totally in love with you, goodbye. There's usually a period of alienation and stress and struggle and rancor. And the child has to endure all that. And the child has endured the loss, well, assuming that the father didn't die or something. But one way or the other, the child, the 6-year-old, has endured the loss. Then you come along, and all of a sudden the mother forms a relationship with you. Why should that not be threatening to the child? She's already lost something, and all of a sudden there's a stranger in the home who mommy really loves. Well, every reason she might perhaps perceive you as a threat. Now, maybe she didn't. Maybe you formed a great relationship with her right from the beginning, and maybe she welcomed you into the home. But it can easily work the other way. In other words, all I'm saying is we have to understand that the parents' relationship with one another is not immediately transferable to the child. That a relationship has to build with the child. And that's what then gives you the power to parent, is the relationship that the child wants to give you and maintain with you. The power of parenting comes from the desire of the child to belong to you. And this is whether you're the step-parent or the biological parent.